1 hour from now, we're headed out to Arrowhead. You'll hear from Andy Reid exclusively on 610 Sports Radio. Also about 20 minutes away from the trash of the day.
They're on top of that.
Andy Reid at noon. I know Dusty's excited for the trash of the day in about 20 minutes. It's local. It is local today on Trash of the Day. That's all I'll say.
You're welcome.
Yes. So we'll also get to the Chief Red Half Hour in about 30 minutes. Alex Gold with you. Cody and Nick out today. Dusty Likens hosting with me today. He's actually doing everything. This guy's been here since early in the morning. You were board op in the morning show a little bit. Now you're hosting and board opping. Man of many talents, Dusty
Likens.
I need
to take a page out of the Players Union of Baseball and maybe like go on strike. Like, good luck.
Are you threatening a work stoppage? If you walked out right now, I guess Rob's here now, so I'd be okay. If you just walked out about 45 minutes ago, we would have had a serious problem. Nobody else in the building but you and I. Now Rob's in the building, getting ready for the afternoon show. And again, on the drive this afternoon, and by the way, Patrick Mahomes at 2:15 here on 610 Sports Radio. Look, I was listening to Cody and on the show, and I agreed with both of them when they were talking about, now this off week, it seems cliche, but the Chiefs bye week did come at the perfect time. It was Thanksgiving week, which is nice anyway. If you're really, if you're a fan, or certainly if you cover the team, you love the Thanksgiving bye week for Kansas City. Also the perfect time because of the way the AFC matchups were situated. But did it actually turn out that way? So the Raiders get the win against the Cowboys. That didn't go the way you were hoping. If you were a Chiefs fan, you were hoping the Cowboys, and you thought the Cowboys were going to win that game in an AFC-NFC matchup. The Bills, as we referenced that Saints Thursday night game, the Bills had no problem with New Orleans. And it was the Broncos, as we led the show with, beating the Chargers. Patriots head-to-head with the Titans. They get the win. The Bengals blew out the Steelers. And then the Ravens last night on just a terrible, specifically first half, but really whole game. Ravens got the win against the Cleveland Browns. And it has the national conversation today on your debate shows early this morning, discussing that the Patriots, the Empire has returned. I think our guy Kyle Brandt said the Empire strikes back, and the return of the Jedi and all these narratives that he put together on NFL Network late last week, that Belichick and Mac Jones and the Patriots are back, and that the Patriots and the Chiefs maybe are the two best teams in the AFC. And I'll just say this, if that's the case, things are going great for Kansas City. If a team led by a rookie quarterback is your biggest threat, that's all I need to know about the path to a Super Bowl. And that's not to say that the Patriots haven't been playing really, really well. They are the hottest team in football. They are. They've won 6 in a row. They just destroyed the Titans. The Titans team, though, that has just about every key player other than Ryan Tannehill out right now. But they destroyed them. If that's your biggest competition, if you buy into that narrative, then, man, things are looking good for Kansas City. And coming out of a bye week, you're also a little bit closer to that number one seed. We know Kansas City cannot tie with anybody because they're going to lose just about a tiebreaker over anybody other than maybe some of the divisional tiebreakers now with the way things are shaping up. But my only hesitation with the Patriots, and why I still think the Buffalo Bills are the biggest challenger, and I don't buy into the narrative that's out there this week and continuing to go. So the Patriots, look, they've outscored their opponents by 148 points during their 6-game winning streak. Like, that's wild. 148 points.
Well, let's take a break.
Let's take a deep dive. Exactly, Dusty. The Jets, 54-13.
Well, let's go even before
The Chargers, 27-24. Carolina, 24-6 win. Cleveland, 45-7. Atlanta, 25-0. And then Tennessee, 36-13. Look, you play the teams out on your schedule, and they've been as impressive as you could against those teams. But the Jets, a Chargers team that's fallen down, Carolina, who has no quarterback, Cleveland, who's just a complete disaster, Atlanta, who's just not ready to compete, Matt Ryan, they need to move on from, they have no weapons, and then Tennessee, we just talked about, Derrick Henry, A.J. Brown, Julio Jones, multiple defenders out.
Yeah, they played a C team.
They have down to their, I think, fourth string running back now, too, because like if you count them bringing Adrian Peterson, then cutting him, like, Dontrell Hilliard or whatever his name, you would know, Mr.
Well,
Fantasy
had
guy over there.
Deontay Foreman is their running back, and they had McNichols out. Like, he didn't even play.
And so that's my hesitation, Dusty. I don't know where you're at on the page. That's my hesitation. Like, the Patriots have looked impressive. But if that's the Chiefs' biggest challenger, yeah, sign me up for that right now. Let's go. Let's play an AFC title game. Let's go at Arrowhead right now.
Yeah, I mean, and just to, like, piggyback off that, you go before those games you mentioned, they lose to the Cowboys at home, 35-29. So they give up 35 to one of the best NFL offenses in the league. And before that, they barely beat the Texans. So, I mean, you look at their schedule. Yes, I'll give them the win in L.A. against the Chargers, where they win by a field goal and they do their thing there. But, I mean, they play the Panthers, who, I mean, come on. That was when Sam Darnold was just trying to get out of the NFL. They play the Browns, who at the time were the broken Browns, and they still are the broken Browns because that's the OBJ's dad is tweeting Kareem Hunt's out. They have D'Ernest Johnson. They don't have Nick Chubb. They play the Falcons and shut them out, and the Falcons, as we know, suck. That was when they had no Cordell Patterson, who they did have that target. That's the game that where Cal Ridley also was like, I'm out. I got to get my mental right, which hopefully he does. Then they play the Titans, who were completely abolished from what their starting roster was. And now they've got to go Bills, Colts, Bills. They go to the Bills, they go to the Colts, and they get home against the Bills. So before you even want to crown this team, and I get it, like, Mac Jones has been good. I preached all weeks or all day Sunday, Mac Jones was my lock at quarterback. It worked out because I knew, and if I know, and I don't even watch the Patriots, and I know they're going to be successful against a Titans team that had nobody playing and Belichick can just zone in on Ryan Tannehill, then yeah. I don't have any. I'll give the Patriots a little bit of credit.
Mac Jones is Creed Humphrey's biggest competition for Rookie of the Year. Hashtag Creed is good. It's not Jamar Chase. Right. It's Mac Jones.
I think it's Jamar Chase. But either way.
Yeah, Mac Jones, I think, is the favorite, man.
That's fine. I mean, it's, you know.
Creed Humphrey, no respect still. Well, I still saw it the other day. 150-1 still for Creed Humphrey.
I bet Kirk Cousins would line up under center if Creed Humphrey was his center. The thing is that, yes.
Hope people know the context there. Otherwise, they're really confused.
Oh, the Kirk Cousins that lined up under his right guard on 4th-and-1 and not his center? Yeah. Well, there's your context. But the thing about this is that as much as I want to give New England a little bit of, and I do give them a little bit of credit because their defense is great. Their head coach is probably the best coach to ever coach in football, so I will give him that. But I just don't trust a team, like you said, with a rookie quarterback.
That's what it comes down to.
They don't have a stable win.
I mean, even more than the schedule, though, man. Like, that's really for me where I'm at. It's a rookie quarterback. Do you think a rookie quarterback's taking a team to a Super Bowl? Like, that's and going through the AFC against Mahomes, still against Buffalo, and you're, you know, this whole conversation, a lot of it will be solidified and we can be proven wrong here in a couple weeks because what you said, they still have the Bills twice and the Colts. And so a lot of this is going to be sorted out. I'm with you on that part of it. It's just, man, if that's even if that happens at that point.
Well, what do we do every year in the playoffs, Alex? Every year, every matchup becomes, record aside, it becomes who's the head coach, who's the quarterback. You go Andy Reid, Bill Belichick, what are you doing? Are you giving the advantage to 1 point Belichick, or maybe you want to call it a wash? Maybe, I don't know. But then you go Mahomes, Mac Jones.
I mean, come on, yeah.
I mean, where are you at? And if the Chiefs defense is doing what it's doing, carrying that weight into the playoffs, then what's the matchup look like? And again, the text line says, you could do this with the Chiefs too. No, you can't, because the Chiefs have beaten all the bad teams. They didn't lose to the Texans. The Patriots lost to the Texans, and you can say it's before they got themselves figured out, and they beat a Titans team that wasn't the Titans team that the Chiefs played. Like, the Titans team that played the Chiefs still had Julio Jones on the field, minimal, but he was on the field. A.J. Brown went nuts. Derrick Henry was on the field throwing touchdowns and running the ball, and they were fully healthy. So it wasn't the same Titans team, and the Patriots, again, the NFL is also not who you play but when you play them. But right now, let's put the Patriots and the Chiefs together. I'm taking the Chiefs all day, and that's not bias. That's just roster v. roster, quarterback v. quarterback, coach v. coach.
Now, how would you rank out the AFC right now? Because you have a Ravens team that is the number one seed, but you watched them last night against the Browns team that's all sorts of a mess, and Lamar throws four picks. I think it's the first time in 36 games or whatever that a quarterback that threw four picks was the winner. Of course, Cleveland found a way to.
Cleveland.
I still think Kansas City and Buffalo are the two best teams in the AFC. And then after that, it is the Patriots third. And then I would go to the Ravens at four. And then it's probably the Titans at this point are back probably sixth or seventh. With that said, you know, like if Tennessee's able to recover at all after, I think they're on a bye this week and then they come back. If they're able to recover at all, but they're going to be without Julio Jones for A.J. Brown, for at least two more games.
Because he's IR.
On the short-term IR. I mean, you start, they get Jacksonville one more time. I think they have Houston one more time. Do the Titans. I don't think it's impossible. I know people have written the Titans off. I don't think they're a threat, never did, but the number one seed to me is still not over. Like I don't think it's still Tennessee Titans are is impossible for them to be the number one seed based off of the head start they got on the wins on everybody else.
Right.
But their Titans, like if the Titans were ended up as the number one seed or the team that you had to face in the divisional round, you'd still, either way, you still love that picture because the Tennessee Titans are just an absolute mess right now. That's the AFC, though, man. It is continuing to get wild each and every week, and the Chiefs sitting at home on a bye week, the picture got even better for them thanks to some of those results. A reminder, in about 45 minutes, we're headed out to Arrowhead. You'll hear from Andy Reid right here on your official broadcast partner for the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio. You referenced last hour that Thanksgiving game with the Lions.
Correct.
And Bears. It was the second game, though, that went to overtime. It was the Raiders and Cowboys, and it was a good game, but a game that we all apparently were also sitting there to watch the refs. 276 yards were the penalties, 28 penalties overall. The rule enforcement in the NFL gets worse and worse each week. It is an absolute disaster. You have this new idea that if you're the Colts, for example, more than any other team I've seen do this, let's just chuck it up, underthrow the ball on purpose, and let's get pass interference. It's a terrible product when if that's what's going to continue to trend in that direction.
Yep.
We saw it a little bit yesterday across the league. We're seeing referees not necessarily even be able to spot the ball correctly on a consistent basis. The whole officiating system in the NFL needs completely reformed. And the issue, I think, is what we saw even last night during Sunday Night Football, where you had the sequence, what, three plays in a row, the Browns had 12 men on the field and nobody knew what the hell was going on. The refs didn't know what was going on. Then you have a rules analyst who I know is a former official, doesn't ever want to be critical of guys that are part of the referee club. Like the rules analysts are completely pointless on all the broadcasts. I know these are two separate things, but to me it's all linked because it's the idea that nobody wants to hold anybody accountable when it comes to officiating in the NFL, whether they're retired or not. If you're an official and then you get the nice cushy job in the booth like Blandino or Pereira or McCauley and then Gene Steratore, all those guys, then nobody wants to call anybody out for making the wrong call on the field. There was one point they even could decide if it was Njoku and made that touchdown catch and the ball went off his thigh, it appeared. And on the field, the system is flawed because now it's gotten to a point, and I thought it was good at one point, where, oh, we know that it's an automatic review if we call things a touchdown, so we're just going to go ahead and let it roll. Well, now that's become almost a crutch for officiating in the league, where the officials know that, well, you're going to get it, we're just going to rule a touchdown because we know it'll get reviewed versus actually making the right call. I know the initial intention of it was good, but now it's almost being used to cover for officiating in the NFL.
My problem that I noticed, and again, it's because I'm probably more focused in on Chiefs games, was that Dallas Chiefs game where that debacle happened on the sidelines, right? Where I think it's Fenton gets his helmet ripped off and then goes out and does the celebratory, you know, I don't give a rip what you're going to say. I'm going to own this.
Yeah.
The thing that bothered me there is that in weeks, like, you know, with the Clyde Edwards-Helaire finger point, that ref had his hand on that flag before the hand even went down from Clyde Edwards-Helaire to call the penalty. But yet that debacle on the sideline gets way out of control. Everybody loses control of the game, referee, players, coaches, whatever. And yet they couldn't even get it right. The fact that they had to go back to the replay to see what happened when, oh, by the way, there's a ref standing right there watching everything, and he misses the biggest action, which was before there was even a crowd, there's a guy ripping a guy's helmet off, which in years past, if that happens, that flag's already out of your waistline, and they can't get that right. And the thing is if they're going to be so harsh on these players and this product's going to be so expensive and these rules are going to be implicated to a new level, you got to clean it up. You got to do better. You got to be a better referee. You got to be the best of the best of the best. It's kind of like I compare it to restaurants. If you're going to charge gratuity, that table ought to have the best damn service of their life that night because you're already having to be forced to pay 18%. So it better be damn good service. And if it's not, those servers should be held accountable and not have to work at that restaurant. Just like those refs, if this is the best product on the field and these are the best guys for the job, get it right. You shouldn't have to go make up your mistakes on something that is so blatantly obvious.
You mentioned Clyde's name, and we saw the fine come down over the weekend.
Oh, gosh.
Clyde got fined $10,000 for the finger point.
Yet.
Yet, Casey Hayward of the Steelers on last Sunday Night Football. So not last night, so two Sunday Night Footballs ago. Pretty clearly could be seen punching, essentially, Justin Herbert in the chest. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. But a finger point. How dare you? You can't point at the opponent. And it just speaks to the hypocrisy of NFL officiating and how the rules are set up. It is crazy. Text lines say, buddy, you have no idea how difficult it is to officiate the game. I challenge you to go out and referee sub-varsity football just so you get a taste.
I don't need to. I'm not getting paid all the money these NFL refs are getting paid.
If it's your job, you're expected to do it at a high level. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying they have an easy job, but it's your job. Excel at it. Be better at your job.
And we're not saying that they're getting the tough calls wrong. They're getting the blatant, obvious calls wrong. That's not what we're saying. I get it. It's a tough gig. Refereeing's not easy. I'm sure there are referees out there that are doing, you know, their damnedest to be the best at what they can do. But what I'm saying is that they're doing the simple things wrong that they shouldn't be getting done wrong. That's the problem.
Yeah, nobody's saying that Dusty or I would be a better official. Guess what? It's not my job.
That's the thing. It's like, you want to see how tough it is to produce two shows in a matter of 3 hours and get the call in 10 minutes. I'm not asking you to go be the best radio producer or on-air host. Get out of here.
Let's get to the trash of the day.
Trash of the day.
Trash of the day brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Just point and it is gone. We stay local with this one.
Yay.
The second Whataburger location opened today. So out in your neck of the woods a few weeks ago was the Lee Summit one, right?
That's right. Yeah.
Right, and are the lines still bad there?
I believe so.
Have you gone?
I refuse to.
Okay. We'll get to that.
Yeah.
So today, the Independence location, the second one in the area, and there's plenty more to come. The folks over at KSHB 41 this morning were out there. And they interviewed a lady that had been camping out for a while.
Yeah, good morning to you guys. We have seen some cops already out early this morning getting things set up for the opening of this Whataburger restaurant here behind me. We've also seen customers getting in line. If you take a look here, there's two cars right here that are parked and ready to go with people in them. But I want to show you the first car that came here this morning was all decked out with Whataburger bumper stickers here on the side and in the back of the car here. It was a nice good one here, Whataburger since 1950. And the woman inside this car is none other than Laura Ferguson, who's right here next to us. Good morning to you, Laura. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Great, great, great. All right, so show us your sweater that you're wearing. You're decked out here in the Whataburger gear.
I am in my 2021 God. Christmas sweater, and of course in my nice socks that I have that match.
So you are from Texas, right? This is Whataburger's like life for you here almost. Explain that connection to me.
It is. I was born and raised in Texas, but I've been here in Missouri for over 30 years. Whataburger's like family to us. It's a, you know, it's nostalgia for us. So I'm excited to have it here in Independence finally. So welcome to Kansas City, Whataburger.
Welcome to Kansas City. Now, you've been excited for this. You were waiting in line since 8:30 last night. Since Sunday night at 8:30, you've been in line.
Yeah.
So why stay in line that long when there's another Whataburger open in town a few minutes away?
I had to work, so, and then I made the time for this to happen tonight, and I was able to work remotely and do payroll during the night.
So that was courtesy of KSHB 41. The last question's a fair point. Like, you didn't have to... camp out for this location, right? You know, there's another one like 20 minutes away.
Was she in the Lee Summit location?
She said she had to work. Whataburger holiday sweater, bumper stickers. Look, I like Whataburger a lot. I lived in Houston for a little bit. It is a big part of people's lives down in the state of Texas.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad it's here. I'll never, you know.
Have you ever
no
waited in line for like, quote unquote, I mean,
not
truly for anything? What's the longest you wait in line for a product?
Garth Brooks tickets.
Okay, how long?
It wasn't really that long because I got lucky. Okay. So how they did when Garth basically opened the Sprint Center was you basically went to a place that was selling tickets, and everyone that was in the line, the way they did the Ferris was they drew a ticket stub after they handed out everybody's ticket. Like they gave everybody a ticket, like those little carnival tickets or whatever.
Yeah.
And then they drew one. And wherever that ticket was, that's where they started the line. And I happened to be like 50 behind it. So I got kind of lucky. So then you came back. So
that's at least for a concert experience.
Right. So that, and it was for like an iconic.
For a hamburger and fries.
I'm good.
And
And it might be better than sex, this burger and onion rings. I don't know.
And
I
I'm out here, and I'm out here for Whataburger slander. I don't want any Sonic comparisons. That's like the go-to for people. No. Whataburger is very good, but you're camping out since 8:30 last night.
You don't need to do that. Like, if you're not working and you truly love this place and you want to go all fanboy, fangirl for it, then go stand in line and support
it.
Why do you need to be the first?
Do you have Jack Stack socks and Jack Stack hoodies?
No, but I do have like 3 shirts.
Yeah, but you work for them.
Right. Yeah, like I have a shirt I support it, and I hope that one day they sponsor me. Yeah. Anybody that works in higher up CEOs, you know who you are listening right now. You could sponsor anything you want, Dusty Leggins.
I have some bad news for you on that one.
Oh, okay. That's fair. But either way you want to look at it, the thing is that if you're going to do this and you truly support it, then it shouldn't matter what time you go. You don't have to be the first one in line. And clearly this person got exactly what they wanted. Congratulations to them. They got the news story. They got their 15 minutes of fame. And now they're just a Whataburger mascot. And they have socks and bumper stickers. You're ruining your car by putting a bumper sticker. That's another thing. Why do people do bumper stickers?
Yeah, I refuse to.
Whataburger mom on it.
Yeah, no bumper stickers going on my car anymore. I don't know. Why are you putting bumper stickers on?
I mean, come on, man.
913.
Like, would you stand in line for Chipotle if they gave it to you for free?
How long? Yeah. Yeah.
An hour and 10 minutes.
If they said I had to wait an hour and I could get a free burrito, I would. Yeah.
But you get it like every day.
Yeah, but I'm not putting a Chipotle.
Have you ever done the Halloween where you just wear tinfoil?
In college, I did. Yeah. In college. So. I haven't done that since college. Text line says, back in the day, Black Friday. So I have waited in, like, so the two TVs ago, I waited, probably at 2 a.m., I got to a Best Buy parking lot at 2 a.m. and waited for it to open at 7. So I've waited in line for 5 hours, but that was for a television, Dusty. It was cheap. That Whataburger, not any cheaper today. Same burger you can get. That TV was cheaper that day, and it's a TV that I still have today. That burger's long gone out of your system by the end of the day.
I just want to see the same love for, like, local establishments. Now, granted, this lady's kind of an anomaly, but, like, show some love for, like, Tay's Burger Shack or, like, anything else down there. Like, I can give some insight here because I know exactly what this area is. But it says just past the Independence location, the line is out on the 40 Highway, all the way out on 40 Highway, all the way about to the light on Valley View. To give you some insight of where Valley View is and where that Whataburger location is, Alex, that would be, like, from here all the way down Metcalf to probably almost the Red Lobster on 95th. That's how far that line is.
Yeah.
You doing that?
No.
You excited?
No.
Because when Jack in the Box opened up in Blue Springs, they had police officers.
That's what they have here.
I know they do. Yeah, and that's my rule. It's like, if police officers have to stop serving and protecting the streets because they got to get people some eats, I'm out. I'll wait. I can wait 8 months for a burger. I don't need to go because it's been nuts in Lee's Summit.
So now two locations are open in the Kansas City area. That's the Trash of the Day, brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Coming up next, we get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. And where does that next loss come from?
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio. Chiefs Red Half Hour, every day at 11:30 on Cody and Gold.
Chiefs Red Half Hour is brought to you by E. Edwards Workwear, proud partner of Carhartt Clothing. Here in about 30 minutes, we're headed out to Arrowhead. You'll hear from Andy Reid, the only place you can hear from Andy Reid on Monday, right here on your official broadcast partner for the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio. Real quick, though, just some baseball news, because we were talking baseball earlier today and how a lot of money is being spent in trying to get it done before the deadline and the CBA expiring on Friday. Max Scherzer and the Mets reportedly finalizing a $130 million contract over 3 years. So the Mets going to have, as you pointed out, DeGrom and Max Scherzer all together there.
There goes one of your big pitchers you wanted to get signed. I'm kidding. Obviously, they weren't ever
not with the Royals. Yeah, not with the Royals. No.
Yeah, it's like local ties.
And the Rangers are spending money left and right, too, though. My goodness. It's pretty crazy. Let the market settle. Let's see what happens. And not going to have to wait till after the CBA but gets done. But Max Scherzer going to the Mets on a 3-year, $130 million contract. So there's a question, as we talk some Chiefs football here in the Chiefs Red Half Hour, from Fesco this morning, not only on his show, and I saw he tweeted this out last night. And I thought it was interesting because I think we should know by now that this is likely how it's not going to go for Kansas City. What I mean by that is the question he posed was, hey, the Chiefs won't lose again this year. Who on the schedule is going to beat Kansas City? Have we not watched what's happened in this 2021 football season? Like, I get that the way the Chiefs are playing, it seems like, and you look at the schedule, it seems like, yeah, they're winning teams with winning records you're facing, and it seems as though the schedule actually is going to be easier than you thought down the stretch. You got the Broncos, the Chargers are struggling now, the Raiders don't look like a competitive team anymore, the Steelers are a mess. Cincinnati looks to be the toughest one. You're going through and you're saying, oh, this win, 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 win. They're not going to lose a game. Like, we should know this year. That's just not how it's going to turn out. I'm very high on the Chiefs. I had been more optimistic than anybody else on the show on the Chiefs, even during their struggles about the defense and could they get better and all this. But I think you have to be realistic at least a little bit about the schedule. There will still be, much like when nobody saw the Titans losing to the Texans. Nobody saw the Bills losing the Jets or the Jags and the Jets. Nobody saw that kind of stuff happening. There will be still a surprise game this year. There just will. Now, hopefully it doesn't occur against these divisional teams, but there will still be a surprise. The Chiefs will be favorites the rest of the season. I'll give you that. There will not be a game the rest of the year the Chiefs are not favorites in. They're 9.5-point favorites against the Broncos. They will be considerable favorites at home against the Raiders. Then even that Thursday night game against the Chargers, as long as Mahomes and everybody's healthy in that regard, the Chiefs will be favorites in that game.
What's the only Steelers. Game this year they weren't a favorite? There was one, wasn't there? Titans,
yeah,
Bills?
I think it was a Titans game.
Yeah, no, they were favored in that Titans game. Weren't Tennessee like plus 2.5?
I don't know what it closed. I have to go back and look. There were a couple where they were, it was never a pick 'em, but it might have been 1.5 or 2.5. Maybe it was Tennessee in that game.
And then Packers.
Or maybe it was the Chiefs, in that game.
Were the Packers.
No, the Chiefs were.
And then it jumped when Rodgers got announced the COVID protocol.
Yeah, it was the Chiefs were like 1.5, 2-point favorites, jumped up to 6.5. So the Chiefs will be favorites the rest of this season. Going through in the final six games, I don't believe they're going 6-0. You can say, well, what's the game? Well, if I had to pick one that still is, it's still the Chargers one, despite how they're playing and the Chargers charging. It's not so much that the Chargers beat the Chiefs earlier. It's the idea that the Chiefs would have played two divisional games, short week, then have to go out to LA. Like, that still is the one I circle. Not that I'm a huge believer in the Chargers. It's just that's the one that seems prime for that loss with everything stacked against you a little bit based off of Thursday night game, on the road, short week and everything. Other than that, though, it's the Bengals, just because the Bengals appear to be on your schedule now. If you look, they're the best team left on your schedule. Broncos aren't it. Raiders, Chargers, Steelers, Broncos again. That's it. Those are the two. I don't believe Kansas City's going 6-0 the rest of the season. I just don't. I think this season has taught us that the games that seem like the sure thing, you're just going to have slip-ups. You just are. You're going to have that kind of game. And the defense is playing at a crazy level right now, and an elite level for that matter. At this point, and I expect some of that to continue, but there still can be a letdown at some point. And the one that makes sense is if you beat the Broncos and you beat the Raiders, and it's a short week out in LA against the Chargers. Do you think they're running the table? 913-576-7610.
I mean, I think they should.
Fair, yeah. Fair. Yeah, yeah. Again, they're going to be favored.
Again,
they should.
I just think that with. And then you're going to have some people out there that are going to have the mindset of like, well, I don't want to go undefeated because then you're going to go undefeated into the playoffs. And then it's.
Oh, I hate that idea.
Right.
But look at the last 2 years. That's silly, though,
right.
Because the Bucs, as we know, after losing to Kansas City last year in week 12.
Ran the table.
They won out.
And then won what? Their first
Kansas City.
5 games this year, 4 games?
Yeah, Kansas City in 2019. They were 6-4 out of the gate that season. They lost to the Titans. And then they basically won out the rest of their season as well.
Yeah.
So that idea that like, oh, they're like, you know, there's nothing in sports that drives me more crazy. I know you're not saying this, but
college basketball,
it happens in college basketball a lot, but it also to your point, some people try to do that with the NFL. Like, oh, it's good to get that one out of the way. No,
yeah, no, I'm
no!
Good.
That's a bunch of BS. That's just what you try to sell yourself. No, I hate that.
The thing about this is I would agree to you because I think we both do a fair share of betting.
Yeah. And looking
like
it up,
I did better than you this weekend, but that's near.
No, you did against the spread. You did not. I had 3-0 against props.
I went 3-0. I just didn't do props, but I went 3-0.
3-0 in props, 1-2 against the spread.
Yeah, is what it is. But anyways, I think that the toughest game, personally, is that at Cincinnati game. I think that's the toughest game left on the schedule because I think both teams will be playing full starters.
which this is going to be probably what, one of the first years where the Chiefs are going to be playing everybody all the way up until the end of the season, you'd think.
Seems like it. Yeah, it seems like it.
You're probably not losing to Pittsburgh. I think as the season goes on, Ben Roethlisberger is just going to get more and more and more awful. He was terrible Sunday. He's the reason why they got blown out against Cincinnati. It wasn't like Ja'Marr Chase was majorly effective in that game. It was T. Higgins and Joe Mixon that blew it up for everybody in that game. And Pittsburgh was their defense was a little bit beaten up. But the thing is, yes, that Thursday night game concerns me because late in the season, the team that travels, plus it's a division game, it's in the Chargers' house. They've already beaten you here. Text line says they've been favored in all 11 games.
There you go.
There it is. True as a North Star of the text line, so we appreciate that, 816. But the thing is, no, I don't think they'll win all of them. Do I want them to? Do I want the Jake Taylor mentality, just win the whole effing thing? Absolutely. That sets up well because then everybody that was the expert saying that the Chiefs couldn't do it and the Chiefs were out, you know, you and I put our feet up on the ottoman, take a bite out of that Chipotle burrito. I guess yours would be the dashboard, but we'll just take a
burrito
bite.
Burrito bowl, man. Burrito bowl. I'm team
Sometimes
bowl.
You got to go burrito. But like,
I haven't gotten burrito in a while, man.
I snagged one the other day and it was quite delicious. Because I just always do burrito or burrito bowl, and I finally did that. But, like, that's the thing is I think that's where we're going to be at is that, yes, there is no such thing to me or you as a bad or a good loss. But I think the Chargers game, short week, on the road, Thursday night games are always kind of iffy. Like you saw what Baltimore did. They went and played at Miami. I mean, Miami of all teams, and got smoked. And, you know, that's just kind of the way it is. And keep your eye on Thursday night this week where the Cowboys are going to play against the Saints. Now, I don't know if it's at Dallas or if it's in New Orleans off the top of my head. But, again, they're going to be without their head coach, but that might be more of an advantage than a disadvantage for the Cowboys. But look at short weeks.
It's in New Orleans.
It's in New Orleans. So watch that game Thursday. Dallas is clearly the better team, much better talented team. And they're going to struggle in New Orleans. I'm telling you right now, it's just tough this late in the season when you have short week games, especially if it's against your division like the Chiefs-Chargers game is.
913-576-7610. Looking at the Chiefs' schedule, if you see a loss the rest of the way, I don't think anybody necessarily sees it. But if you have to pinpoint a lot of people on the text line, going with the Chargers game as well. One other person says the Raiders game most likely being in the middle game. It's just, man, I just watched the Raiders, what the Chiefs just did to them.
Nah, they're done.
It's not like it's a month later. I mean, it's the Chiefs and Raiders just played, and we've all, I know the Raiders beat the Cowboys, and that was not, again, going back to why I think the Chiefs will still drop one.
And it's an Arrowhead.
Nobody thought that the Cowboys were going to lose to the Raiders. They found a way to lose. There will still be, I don't think the Raiders is that one, but there will still be a game where the Chiefs don't play well and they'll be on the ropes against one of these teams.
The Cowboys didn't even have CeeDee Lamb or Amari Cooper in that game.
Yeah.
And it was a short week for Dallas. And the Raiders barely won because there was what? Offsides, false start, offsides, first down, field goal, good. I don't know. I'm not worried about Raiders.
Now, for the Chiefs' sake, this week, we know this is now the time frame we enter. And you'll continue to see it publicized nationally throughout the week. This is Andy Reid's prime right here. Where not only the calendar getting ready to turn to December, but it's Andy Reid after a bye week. And that is about as sure as thing in sports. Andy Reid, bye weeks, typically this is where he starts to thrive. He's 19-3 off of a bye week. Here's the overall stats for Andy Reid in his entire career. 26-6 after a bye. 19-3 in the regular season, 7-3 in the postseason, 10-4 with Kansas City after byes, 7-1 with Patrick Mahomes. Now, some of those include, that overall record includes the postseason, which, of course, Kansas City has had a bye a couple times. We'll see if they end up having a way to get the bye this go around. The number one seed, they got some work to do to get there. But this game, this Broncos game that I said is the biggest Chiefs-Broncos game since Mahomes made his debut in 2017, you get the Broncos off the bye. That's why, despite what the Denver Broncos just did to the Chargers, and it was an impressive win, they did it with defense, I still struggle watching the Broncos with the quarterback situation that they have. Teddy Bridgewater, we saw Drew Lock come in for a little bit. That was ugly as well. You loved it?
Big Drew Lock guy.
That's right. I forgot you are.
Come on now.
Yeah, he's
a big fan of my group of friends.
Oh,
accidentally.
Really?
It was like the weekend after he got drafted, he came down to Downtown Lee Summit.
Yeah.
Three of us absolutely knew exactly who it was. We played it cool. He hung out at our table. And then at the end of the night, he kind of gave a, hey, thanks for being cool and chill and letting me and my guys just kind of have a good time in our old hometown. And we're like, hey, good luck with your career. Nice guy.
That's cool. No, I'm sure he is.
Just went to the wrong team.
Well, that too. But that's not his fault. He got drafted. But I got you. My thing is, I watched the Broncos. I still don't believe in them one bit.
No.
And then you now factor in this go around, this first meeting against the Broncos. It's Andy Reid off a bye week. I mean, you got to love the situation. And it's Sunday Night Football. It's at Arrowhead. And everybody in Kansas City has been seeing what's been going on in the AFC, and that the number one seed is suddenly in play again, let alone as I believe this division can be wrapped up in the next 3 weeks. Like that bye week stat, does it still carry as much weight for you guys as it once did? The only reason why I ask is before we could say, oh, September, Andy Reid and Mahomes. In September, nobody touches them. We saw this year, September was way tougher. Does that play any role into your thinking? Well, we used to think he was untouchable in September. Bye weeks to me are different. It's later in the season. This team's got through some of the funk, some of the messes, how teams are playing them. I believe that it's more truthful almost to see this bye week success. I have more stock in that than I actually do even some of the September success.
Denver has a top 10 scoring defense, so there is a bit of a little tiny dash of concern. Also, the number you bring up, it's been what? 7 years since they've even beat the Chiefs.
2015, man.
So it's been forever. I kind of tweeted half-heartedly joking that the Broncos should start practicing Sunday night before for this week to get ready for the Chiefs. And the thing that I think is most concerning is that in the NFL, there does happen to be those games, like you mentioned, where on paper, when it comes to roster scene, where it's at, like Arrowhead's going to be lit, man. Like it's Sunday night. People are going to be in that parking lot from noon until whatever. It's the Broncos. People hate Denver. They've had a week off. They're ready to let loose. It's going to be all about it. You know, the team's going to be ready. But, you know, it just kind of can be one of those games where it's like, why is this getting off to a slow start? The more Denver is involved in this game, the more they're going to have a chance, because everything stacks up for Denver to have retaliation. But again, we look at it again. Vic Fangio, Teddy Bridgewater, Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes. Chiefs defense, the way that pass rush is starting to work, the way those corners are playing better when the pressure's on the quarterback, it doesn't look like it'll be good. And I mean, I'm not going to give a prediction yet, but if I look at it from a standpoint of Monday morning, Monday afternoon, pre-noon, before the game starts, everything favors the Chiefs. At home, division opponent, off a bye, fresh legs, everybody's ready to go. And again, Mahomes even said, what, a week ago, we're not even playing our best football yet? What happens when that starts going on? What happens when the offense starts playing their best football? I don't know what that's going to be. Is it going to be against Denver? If it is, look out.
Yeah, the one thing Denver has done, they had, you know, you talk about playing down or playing up to competition. Yeah. I mean, their best performances this year have really come against their toughest opponents. We know about the Cowboys blowout. They just shut down the Cowboys a couple weeks ago. That was with Amari Cooper.
Impressive.
That was with CD. Very impressive. And that score was closer than what it was. They were up like 30-3 at one point. It ended up being like 30-17. It was not even that close. I don't have the exact score in front of me, but
I think it was 30-16 or 31-16. Yeah. It was 16-0 at the half, and then Denver didn't score really after that much.
And then what they just did against the Chargers, a game that nobody really gave the Broncos much of a chance. I think the Chargers were only 3.5 point favorites in the game, but still they were underdogs, were the Broncos, and they found a way to win at home. The last couple meetings, you mentioned 2015 for Kansas City, but last year at Arrowhead, it was a 22-16 win for Kansas City. And then the earlier meeting in October last year out in Denver, 43-16 win for Kansas City.
Yeah.
Then it was a 23-3 win for Kansas City, a 30-6 win for Kansas City. Like, other than the last time they met, these have not just been wins. There's been a significant margin of victory involved in these Chiefs games against the Denver Broncos. And we will have all week to check in. But suddenly it's just a massive game. This is first place in the AFC West. Heading into December, it'll be December by the time we're talking about this game on Sunday. The fact that the Broncos are even in that position is a credit to them and Vic Fangio. I didn't think they'd be in a spot to where this first matchup, Chiefs Broncos, we'd be talking about the division being on the line.
Right, and it just seems like every week for the Chiefs, this week is the biggest week for the Chiefs. It was Raiders, then it was Cowboys, or it was Packers, then Rodgers goes out with COVID protocol. Then the Raiders, then the Cowboys, now the Broncos, and the NFL even flexed it because they had, you know, potential success in this.
NBC looks like a genius right now.
Of course they do.
Now, the other option, though, would have been...
All you gotta do is put 15 in primetime and you're a genius.
Wouldn't have been... wasn't it supposed to, the other flex? It was initially Seattle, but the other flex option was Cincinnati and the Chargers. That still would have been a pretty good... I mean, Cincinnati's not as sexy as Kansas City with Patrick Mahomes.
Not yet, yeah.
But if you're just... It's not like that would have been a terrible matchup. The two flex options were good, but now you get first place in the AFC West up for grabs.
And a rivalry game. Like, this is a game in which everybody knows Denver, Kansas City hate each other. And that's how they're going to lead this broadcast. It's like, it's been since Peyton Manning. He's done, you know, it's like, it is.
Oh, yeah. Sunday Night Football will have the cheesy animation graphics they have from 2015, and it'll have Peyton Manning, and then it'll have somehow they'll have some animation of him exiting the stadium, literally walking into the sunset. That's what they're going to show. How much you want to bet?
Peyton, nothing, because I just said it was going to happen. But Peyton Manning has gotten his gold jacket already since the Broncos have beaten the Chiefs. Yes. So, I mean, yes, there's a lot of factors that make the Denver Broncos want to be like, oh, we're ready to beat the Chiefs. It's been forever. Does it happen? Not likely. Everything stacks against them when reality strikes and all the wishes want to do it actually come into play when you haven't won in 6.5, 7 years. Not happening. 9.5 opening line. That should tell you everything you need to know.
It does, I'll admit, seem like a lot of points.
Take away the three you get at home. It's basically a touchdown victory.
But you're not even getting three anymore. That's what's been weird. Like that trend has shifted just based off of the last couple of years where like the idea of home field advantage, and yeah, typically it was you get 3 points. Like that's just... It's more like a point or a point and a half nowadays in the NFL. Like that, the days of home teams getting 3 points when you look at spreads and all that, that's just gone, which is kind of crazy to think about. But if you look at the numbers, road teams have been winning way more on the road than they typically had in the past. But 9.5 seems rich. I mean, Kansas City has not. That's the one thing I know a lot of fans don't care. Just win, right? Just win. Find a way to win.
Yeah.
But the last year and a half, the Chiefs have not been covering very often.
They've been doing a damn good job the last few weeks.
The last couple weeks, they found a way to do it.
They covered
9.5, though. Is that the market adjusting? Is that too many points? We're going to find out.
You think it gets to 10, or do you think it goes down to 7.5?
I think it goes up to 10.
That's what I was thinking. I mean, I don't want anything to do with the spread. It's just, I don't know. I mean,
we've got a show bet to do later in the week. You can have some say in that.
I do agree with the text line, though, is that Denver is a scary team because you just don't know which Broncos team is going to show up. Like, which team's going to be there? And, you know, I mean, Michigan has more wins against Ohio State in the last 6 years than Denver has over the Broncos or over the Chiefs.
Not that it does it make you, people are superstitious, but do you feel better that the Broncos just had that performance yesterday?
Doesn't matter.
I agree.
To me.
Yeah.
I look at it as it's Andy Reid versus Vic Fangio. It's Teddy Bridgewater versus Patrick Mahomes. And you're coming into Arrowhead after the Chiefs have had a bye. They haven't had to travel in I don't know how many weeks. They've been at their own home. They've probably been zoned in. You know, videos going around. You know, they're ready. They've had time to prep for what the offense has been able to expand on. We've seen how it's been able to evolve with what the defense has been giving them. And the Chiefs' defense has clicked, and they're all here. And guess what? Tyrann Mathieu had a little bit of a knee soreness, got a week to sit back. You know, Chris Jones, the wrist may not have been fully healed, might have been 90%. He's been playing that well. What if it's 100%? Frank Clark gets a week off. All these guys get time to rest. You're coming into Arrowhead. You're playing a team that has one of the best head coaches in the game and the best quarterback in the game. Yeah, good luck. I mean, it's nice. It ain't Dallas. We're not Dallas. We're not the Chargers. This is Kansas City Chiefs football. This isn't those other teams. Justin Herbert and the Chargers, they haven't won in Denver in forever. Look that up. The Chargers haven't won in Denver in a long time. So we'll see what happens when they come to Arrowhead.
5 straight AFC West titles, of course, for Kansas City. What about Andy Reid's thoughts on this rivalry game on Sunday against the Broncos? Coming up next, we're heading out to Arrowhead, the only place you can hear from Andy Reid, right here on 610 Sports Radio.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.